God bless each and every one that's joining us today. I have a lot that I want to share, and I'm going to try to be brief because I am trying my very best to be conscientious of the things that are going on in people's lives. And the way that time is moving, it's moving so fastly. We're going to have to just redeem this time, the Word of God says, because the days are evil. So let me just have a brief word of prayer, and then I'm going to go into what the Lord gave me to share today. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our gathering together at this hour. We thank you for the prayer room. We thank you for your word, which says to us that men ought to always pray and not faint. God, help us not to faint, even when the challenges of life bear down upon us and it feels like we can't handle another second of the struggles, the issues, the dynamics of our lives. Help us to press on, to pray on, and to press through. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Bless this time of sharing in the name of Christ Jesus. Bless us physically, mentally, emotionally, in every other way, oh God, that you have a blessing in store for your people. We stand under that fountain that never shall run dry, the fountain of your blood and the fountain of your spirit flowing through our beings to lift us up above the place where we are, out of the natural into the supernatural realm where we don't even feel the pain anymore. That stuff just doesn't bother us anymore because we're so above it. And we've left all that stuff behind us, and we're not going back to pick it up because we don't need it. Bless the people that are listening, God, wherever you may be, whether here in the United States or across the seas in another nation or another kingdom, even where you are, God is. Remember that his arm is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he does not hear, but he hears us. He is attentive to our cry. So we're crying out to the Lord in faith and in prayer as we continue this discussion about the power of fasting and prayer and how God used men and women in the Word of God to bring down heaven so that change happened in their circumstances and even in their health. Again, there's so much that I want to share, and I can't do it all at one time, but I want to go back to yesterday. I was reading to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and it dealt with the things that were going on in Solomon's day that led up to the time that God spoke to him, the word that we quote so often, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that God would hear from heaven, he would forgive their sins, and he would heal the land. But today I want to read you the intercessory prayer Solomon prayed. When we think about Solomon, most of the time when you mention the name Solomon, you think about the man, the king, the second king of Israel, the son of David, the man that had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And that's the one association that people make when they mention the name Solomon. He was a player. Okay, he loved the women. And he had so many that he had enough to give away. Well, Solomon was a man of prayer. He was a man who had a firm foundation in the Word of God. And he was the son of David the king, the one that the Word of God refers to as a man after God's own heart. So when we mention Solomon, there was more to this man than him being a man with 700 wives and 300 concubines. Listen to the prayer from 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And we're going to go from verse 36 to verse 42. And this is what it says. This is Solomon the king praying. These are his words. If, now I'm going to stop right there, because if, when you hear if, you're going to know right then and there that this is a conditional statement that follows. So his prayer is, if they sin against thee, speaking of the children of God, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land afar off or near. Yet, if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried away captive, and turn and pray unto thee. Listen to his words now. This is a prayer of Solomon the king. If they think about where they are, that they've been carried away captive, if they turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, if this is their prayer, Solomon is saying to the Lord, we have sinned. If they come to God repenting and confessing their sins, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, we've done wrong, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity. Now, this is a prophetic prayer, and the Word of God tells us when we pray, we have to pray with our understanding, but we have to pray in the Spirit also. And a lot of times when you're praying, the Spirit of God will direct your prayer, and you'll be praying things that you didn't even think about, but the Spirit of God is leading you and directing you and guiding that prayer, because God knows what's coming. And so the Spirit of the Lord was leading Solomon in this prayer. He said, if they turn, if they repent, they turn their soul and heart towards God in the land of their captivity, whither they have been carried into captivity, and pray towards their land, towards Jerusalem, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house which I have built for thy name. Okay, he's giving the conditions. He's saying to God, Elohim, Creator God, Yahweh, if the people of God are carried away into captivity because of their sins, and because of their disobedience, because of their wrongdoings, because they're guilty of turning their back on you, Lord, if they are carried away into captivity. Now, they weren't captive at that point, but there was a point not too far down the road where they were carried away captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were in captivity for about 70 years. And as we've talked about Nehemiah, and we'll talk about Ezra, and we've talked about Esther and Mordecai and the conditions that they were in, this was post-captivity, the exile, the time when the people were scattered after being carried away from their own land. Okay, so I've laid the foundation for Solomon's prayer. He said, if this happens, he says, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause. Whoa. Yes, Lord, do it for us. And forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my Elohim, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thy ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O God, unto him unto thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O God, be clothed with salvation, and thy saints rejoice in goodness. O God, turn not thy face away from thine anointed, and remember the mercies of David thy servant. This is Solomon's prayer. Did you hear the words of that prayer where he said, if your people, Lord, if they go into captivity because of disobedience, because of idol worship, because of all the things that they were guilty of and the sins of the nation that the prophets prophesied against and told them that if they didn't stop what they were doing, the judgment of God was going to come. Well, Solomon was praying against that even before those things ever came to pass. And the point I'd like to make to you today is that as we pray for our nation, as we pray for our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, we pray against things that God by His Spirit will direct us to pray against. We can pray against premature death, premature things that happen in the life of our children, our grandchildren, our friends. We can come against a backsliding in the hearts of our family members. We can come against generational curses that they not manifest themselves in the lives of our children, our family, and those with whom we have to do. But we have to let the Spirit of God lead us. A lot of times we'll be praying about things and there's no reality that exists that thing is present, but the Spirit will show us things to come. And we have to pray against those things. He will show us, He will open up our spiritual eyes, and He will show us down the road, 5 years, 10 years, 5 months, a year, the trouble, the situation, the drama, the trauma. He'll show us things if we get in the Spirit. And then He'll show us those things not so we can sit back like Jonah did and wait for it to happen, but so we could come into a spiritual place in the Spirit, fasting and praying and calling down the kingdom of darkness and every dark plan that Satan has against our lives or against our government or against our home, against our church, against our affiliates, whatever it is that God is exposing in the spirit realm that has no, it has no physical evidence today, but you see it in the spirit realm. So going back to Solomon's prayer, he went to God with his word, because if you remember that Moses had to intercede for the people of God, God was ready to destroy them. He was ready not only to swallow them up as he did so many thousands, but he was ready to wipe them out and build himself a new family. And Moses had to intercede in behalf of the children of Israel. He had to intercede in behalf of God's people. And he said to God, remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how you promised Abraham that his seed would be as the stars of the sky in number, and the sands of the seashore in number. I'm saying to you people that as you fast and pray, your prayer has to have a foundation in the Word of God. You will be assured that your prayer will be answered if it's based upon what God has promised in His Word. That's why it's so important during a time of fasting that you read the Word of God, that you meditate on the Word of God, that you stand on the promises of God, and you give those promises back to God in your prayer. If you do that, God will answer you in your own words. And that's what He did for Solomon that day. and 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God says, "If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." Where did that word come from? It literally came from the prayer that Solomon had prayed. And the prayer that he prayed was based upon the promises of God as are written in the Word of God. So I say to you today, as you fast and as you pray, your prayers are intensified through fasting. When it comes to major change in the lives of people, in the lives of a nation, of a government, of a city, of a community, prayer changes things. Fasting and prayer. When you fast, you crucify the flesh. And Paul said, "I am crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's the Christ that lives in me." We fast to crucify the flesh. And when you are on a fast, there may be times of discomfort and times of where you're not feeling 100%. But you have to press through that hard place. And if you do, your spirit will find new life. It will take wings and you'll be able to soar through that time of fasting, consecration, and dedication. And it won't be hard anymore. So on the Daniel fast, it's fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables. The book of Daniel refers to it as pulse. So to simplify it in terms of today's language, we're talking about what grows from the ground. So if it's growing from the ground, in the simplest way for you to convert your fasting into a time that you're in denial, you're not eating macaroni and cheese, you're not eating McDonald's Big Mac, you're not eating KFC, you're not drinking Pepsi and a bag of Doritos by your side, you're abstaining from all of these pleasant foods. And the end result is that you will eliminate those pleasant foods from your diet if they're contributing to the bad health that you may be feeling right now. Because so much of our health problems are because of our diet. And when we fast, we not only draw closer to God, which is the reason why we fast, so our spirit can find new life, but we also fast and our body gets healed. It heals itself through the process of fasting and prayer. And you have to be very careful that what you put into your body during a fast is not something that's adding to the problem. So you need to look at everything that you put into your body during this time of fasting. You don't want to set yourself back by overdoing anything. You want to do everything in moderation. The Word of God says, be temperate in all things. Drinking plenty of water, flushing your system out, getting fresh air, exercise during the time period so you don't have a sluggish system and find yourself encumbered by the problem of constipation. So this is a time where we are fasting and we are praying and we're calling upon the name of the Lord. You have to target what it is that you want from God. Do you want total healing for your body? Then that's your target. Focus on that as you fast and as you pray. Do you want healing for your neighborhood, for your nation? Focus on that. Sacrifice yourself so that God can use your sacrifices to transform the lives of those around you. Do you want your husband saved? Do you want your children saved? Do you want your boss saved? You can fast and pray for your boss. Maybe that person is hard-hearted, stubborn, doesn't want to hear a word about God. God can change that person's mind. Yes, he can. He's not going to break their will. I will say this, life can break a person's will, but God's not going to violate a person's will. And then as I mentioned that, I want to say also about fasting. This is the thing that the Lord really dropped in my heart today. I'm not sure that I'll be able to go into this because of the hour. It gets away really, really fast. But Jonah, in the book of Jonah, you might know the story of Jonah. When we think about Jonah, we think about Jonah running from God. We think about Jonah being swallowed up by the whale. We know the story. We laugh about what happened to Jonah. And then some even suggest that there could never have happened like that, the thing that was described in the Bible. But I want to say to you that the Bible, God expects his people to be people of fasting and prayer, to have a prayer life, to have a time where they dedicate their bodies. Their bodies, our bodies belong to God. So you want to have a time where it's you and God communing in the spirit, because your body, which is his temple, is being cleansed through the process of fasting, and you are gaining spiritual renewal, revival in your soul, because you're cleansing your heart, your mind, your emotions, your flesh. You're cleansing it out, and you're allowing the temple to be filled with the glory of God. That's the purpose of fasting. You want him to fill your temple. Now, your temple can't be filled with all the glory of God and be filled with cigarette smoke and filled with other things that are addictive or poisonous, or filled with 7 cupcakes and 10 cups of coffee. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm saying to you that God wants us to be filled with his spirit. And in order to be filled with the spirit of God, we have to say no to the delicacies of life that are so tempting and so good, but yet they're no good for us. God will help us to do that, but we definitely have to be willing to make sure and very sure that we're doing it God's way so he can fill us to the brim. Well, okay, so I mentioned Jonah. And the reason I mentioned Jonah is because I said also that God wants us to be a people that believes in fasting and prayer. He wants us to be a people that does not live in the flesh. We want to walk in the spirit so that we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. The more you walk in the spirit, the less the flesh can lead you. You won't want to drive up in that drive-thru and eat that food that you know is ungodly, that tastes so good. Yes, it does taste good. It satisfies the flesh. That's why you do it. If there was no satisfaction in it, there would be no temptation. So during a time of fasting, Daniel said he ate no pleasant meats. And he certainly didn't drink the king's wine and go to the king's banquet table and feast like they did in those days. So we push back the plate. We stop eating this and we stop eating that. And we give our bodies over to God that he might use us. And the people that we've mentioned so far in the study, we talked about Esther. They went on a 3-day and 3-night fast, no food and no water. Now, I want to flip the script just a bit, because I want to tell you what the Lord told me today about fasting, something that people don't seem to understand. You may say, I cannot fast, but I want you to know that you will fast. Jesus even told his disciples that, and spoke of his disciples when the question was asked, why do the disciples not fast when everybody else is fasting? And he said, how can the people fast when the bridegroom is here? He said, but there will come a day when they will fast. The closer we desire to get to God, the more we will fast. And then there will be times where we will fast whether we want to or not. And that's the point I want to get to. There are a couple of times in particular where we're going to fast even when you don't want to fast. This is what happened to Jonah. God had to put him on a supernatural fast. He was disobedient. He was running from God. He didn't want to do what God told him to do. So God said, I got you. I know what to do for you. You're going to run from me? Well, he put him in his own private prayer room chamber where he had nothing else he could do but fast and pray in the belly of that great fish. 3 days and three nights, Jonah was calling on the Lord, calling for God to give him mercy and a breakthrough. From the depth, I've cried out to you. I'm going to read that. I won't go into it now, but I'm just giving you a taste of what God said about fasting. There are times when you'll be put on a fast, whether you want to fast or not. There are times when a sudden bad news hits us and our appetite is gone. Maybe it was the sudden death of a loved one or a tragic episode in someone's life that you know or love. And your appetite is gone. You don't want to eat. The cigarettes you used to smoke, you don't want to smoke. The drink you wanted, you don't want that. It's just the appetite is gone. That girlfriend, boyfriend, that side piece, as they call it, you don't have any interest there. McDonald's, nah, I don't want that. I don't have an appetite for anything. Grandma, don't you want something? No, I don't want anything. The appetite is gone. You can literally be sitting at a table that has been spread and news hits you and the appetite goes and you don't want anything. Well, suddenly, you put on a fast whether you want to do it or not because there's no desire for food, no appetite for food. Or let's say you are sick. Many have been afflicted by the coronavirus. Didn't want food. There was no taste, no even smell. The desire for food was gone. And then when you wanted something, you wanted only the basics, some fruit juice. You wanted something that was clean food. You didn't want McDonald's or Burger King or anything else like that. And I don't mean to pick on those two companies by any means, but I'm just saying the fast food restaurants. You did not desire that. You just wanted to be well. And you spent that time praying and fasting. So three different occasions where you are going to be put on a fast, whether you want to be on that fast or not. So I would say to you, instead of being forced to fast, do it on your own. Do it on your own. Do it on your own because you love the Lord. Do it because God is good. Do it because you want to get closer to God. Do it because God is calling you into the prayer room to fast and pray and weep and wail for the nation, weep and wail for the people, weep and wail for those who don't know him. God is calling his people to a place of prayer, of fasting. He wants the yokes broken in the lives of the people around you and even in your life. He wants you healed supernaturally. He wants the youth of our nation healed, the minds and hearts changed. He wants to give the breakthrough that only God can give if we cry out to Him in sincere repentance. The problem in our nation here in the U.S. is there is no world, it's nationwide repentance. We have not repented of the evil that we do every single day. We hear the news, we hear of the evil that's happening. We hear of the murder, the shame, the robbery, the rape, the arson. We hear of things that are horrific. But we don't hear anybody humbling themselves and crying out to God and begging God to forgive this nation for its sins against humanity. For our sins against humanity. For our enablement of people to do wrong, to do vicious acts and vicious deeds. We're not hearing that cry for mercy. We need to hear it. And God says that we cry out to Him in abject surrender and total repentance for our wickedness and our evil ways, our evil thoughts, our evil deeds. God is looking at stuff. You would be shocked to see what God sees every single day. If you just think of it like this, when a police officer or a first responder comes to the scene of a violent crime, they see stuff that stays in their mind that they can't get rid of. They are not the average person. They are a select group of people who have chosen a profession that puts them in harm's way and puts them as first responders on the scene where tragedy and violence happens. If you and I had to look at what they look at every single day, we would not be okay. And many of them are not okay because what they have to look at and deal with every day. God looks at all of this. He sees it all. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. If He turns not, God's going to, I'll leave the judgment up to God. But there is an end to the sin, and judgment will follow the life of anyone who does what they do and they don't repent of it. We have to repent of our sins. And not only that, if you come in contact with a person that doesn't even know how to repent, then you have to intercede for them and show them the path to righteousness, which is simply the cross of Jesus Christ. Point them to the cross. Let them know that Jesus died on that cross for their sins, and if they come to Him as a sinner and repents and cries out for forgiveness, that God will cleanse their heart, cleanse their mind, and set them free. Well, that's all we have for now. I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. I would like to recap, however, just briefly, as we spoke of 2 Chronicles and the prayer of Solomon, as we referred to Moses and his intercession, and as we referred to Jonah, who fasted and prayed out of a belly of a whale because he was disobedient to God. Disobedience will put you in captivity. And whereas you may be stubborn and not want to bow your knee now and pray, time and circumstances will press you against the wall, and you will bow. For the word of God says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this time of inspiration, edification, motivation, encouragement, We pray that everyone that has been on this live or that tunes in later and listens to the broadcasting of it would be touched indelibly by the hand of God, that the mountains in their life would move and the hindrances, oh God, would be taken away because they take the time to fast, to pray, to call upon your name. We need thee, O God, now like never before. We need thee. We need your hand upon our shoulders. We need your hand upon our head. We need your hand in our hands, holding us tight, O God, gripping us lest we fall, encouraging us, O God, lest we give up, anointing us, O God, with fresh oil so that we can be revived, renewed, restored, and replenished. And even for those who are fasting and seeking your face, O God, we need fresh oil. We need that fountain that never runs dry to fill our cup to the overflow. Fill us to the brim as we wait before you in this time of fasting and prayer. We need the fountain of God to flow like a river in our hearts, in our lives, that our children would be saved, our loved ones would be saved, that our neighborhoods and communities would be delivered from the vileness and pollution of sin and crime, violence and iniquity. We intercede and pray for those who don't know how to pray for themselves, O God. We intercede and pray for those in government positions, who are in leadership and ruling positions in our land, whether they be a mayor or a legislator on the Senate level and the state level, or they be in the national level, the governor of this state that I'm in, and the state where you are, and the king or prince or ruling official of any county or region where you may be. We pray for them now, God, for righteous rulership across our land. We pray, O God, for those who are suffering because of the underground volcanic eruption, O God, that the tsunamis of this hour that are taking place, O God, that people's lives would be spared. There is so much going on in the land and across the world. You said perilous times would come, and indeed we're living in these times. We pray that you would give us the patience and the faith, the fortitude and the power to stay strong so that the enemies that we see today, we see no more again forever. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we pray. Bless every listener and every hearer. Keep them safe from hurt, harm, and danger. Strengthen them. Heal them. Deliver them and set them free. Make them whole by the power of God is my prayer in Jesus Christ's name. We repent of all wrongdoing in our heart, in our life, in our mind. And we thank you for cleansing us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. That's all we have for now. We will be back again in the name of Jesus at the same hour, continuing on our discussion of the power of fasting and prayer as exemplified in the lives of the men and women of God, from Solomon to David to Moses, throughout the Old Testament and the New. We see God using prayer and fasting to turn situations around. So be blessed, be encouraged to pray, and be encouraged to fast, I say to you today, because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is Michelle saying bye for now, and I'll see you again later. God bless.